Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so incredibly excited for the special episode that we have planned today. We have a wonderful first-year university student here. His name is Adam Docherty, and he is so full of vibrant energy.
Hi. Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here. Really excited.
We are so excited to have this conversation with you as well, because hearing truly from you, what your experiences have been is going to be phenomenal. But before we get to that, just give me a little bit of the brief overview of who is Adam and what are you studying?
Perfect. So my name's Adam. I'm from the Isle of Man. I go to the University of Leeds and I study French and philosophy.
Oh my goodness, that's ambitious.
Yeah, well, it's a bit tough, but I really enjoy it. And hopefully after that, I want to be a lawyer and I want to use my bilingual skills to hopefully work in kind of law that specializes with foreign countries, businesses, stuff like that.
What inspired you to go into that field of study? Because I love the bilingual component of what you said. That's very forward thinking. Have you always wanted to be in law?
No, I haven't always wanted to be in law, but I have always wanted to speak another language. So I really want to, when I have kids, raise my children bilingual. That's always been a big component in my life. So I originally wanted to do Arabic, Middle Eastern studies, that kind of thing, because I really, really enjoy religion, languages, that kind of stuff. But I just didn't think it was very feasible. Only a few universities did those courses. And also most of the time, the year abroad is in second year. And that's a bit, I wanted to be more firm in where I'm living. So my year abroad is in third year now.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think you made a good decision and you'll have more opportunity to really practice it in comparison to the Arabic, where you probably wouldn't have had quite as much opportunity to practice that in application.
Definitely.
Okay, so one thing that we're always curious about here is balancing a social life and staying emotionally sane and emotionally healthy. Balancing and managing your physical health is so challenging when we think about studies. It's very much a balancing act. How have you found that in your first year to try to fit everything in to keep yourself optimal and healthy while not letting your grades slip?
I can't lie, I have struggled with that a little bit, but it's been most of the time okay. It's so I take sleeping pills just because I thought I'm not going to because when I try and get to sleep, it takes a while. I keep thinking. So I take sleeping pills. I try and eat healthier, salads. I go for runs sometimes to clear my mind. I go for walks with my friends. But I think spending time with my friends is a big component of the time at uni. I'm so lucky with my friends. I'm so happy with who I'm friends with. They honestly just changed my life. So it's really nice to be around them. And that's a big part of what keeps me grounded.
I'm so encouraged because finding that community is hard. I know when I went to university myself, it was tough.
Yeah.
And you feel like an outsider in those first couple of months. How did you fall into finding your people, if you will?
So it's a bit of a weird story, actually. So I met this one girl just at Praise one night. And she was lovely. She's called Bella. We went to town and then I saw her a couple of days later, different club. And I was oh my God, do you remember me? Blah, blah, blah. And we hit it off really, really well. And then my other friends, I met them at a Pries that my flatmate held. So he invited these two girls to Pries and we clicked really, really well. And then it turns out that they were Bella's flatmates. So it's lovely to be able to see them every day. And then also, I also have other friends from my course. So I'm really close to my friend called Amelia. She's on my course. She's doing French and philosophy, the only other one at university. And we just get on so well. And then her friends are lovely. So it's just really nice to be able to talk to loads of different people, but also all of them reassure me. They make me feel better about myself. It's really nice.
That's so important to have friends that make you feel better versus worse. Because I know some people, you'll be on a phone call with them or whatever it is, and they'll make you feel drained and worse afterwards versus people that make you feel better.
Yeah, definitely. It's never a chore to talk to them. I always want to message them rather than like I have to keep up with these people.
You're not secretly dreading it, right?
Yeah. It's like, especially I feel like with my mom, when she messages people, like, it's kind of formal, like she'll send messages to her friends along and like catch up messages. But I just love like being able to update my friends on my day, my life, like, and I know that they want to know, and I know that I want to know about their lives and stuff. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. It's more of that organic connection versus forced. And sometimes with social connections, it can become, like you mentioned, a chore. I have to go out and meet this many people. I have to do this. I have to do that to be good enough. And when you can really be yourself with your friends, that takes a major weight off you.
Yeah, it's really, really refreshing and nice. And like, also because like, obviously the Isle of Man's a really small community. Everyone knows each other. It's like, it's nicer to not have like pressure to be like, this is who I am. Like, and I have to keep that up every time, because like I'll go out and I can see like 10 people I know here, but at uni, like it's so different and so nice just to be able to like be myself with my friends and not have to worry about like seeing anyone, upsetting like anyone's perception of me, stuff like that. It's really nice.
Do you find that university is sort of an opportunity for you to reinvent yourself, perhaps part of your personalities that don't serve you anymore, and just sort of explore and play with something new?
Yeah, I definitely think that. Like, I think a lot of people think they're going to go to uni and completely reinvent themselves and like create like a whole new personality. And I don't really think that's the case most of the times. Like, you are who you are and you won't be able to keep like a facade for that long. But I find like the friends that I have, because they're so good, like they just really like let me be who I can be, who I want to be, like who I am. So like if you go into university with like no reservations about like who you are, or like even if like I was a bit more insecure when I went to uni, but like the friends I have just were like, everything they did was just to support me. So you could just be whoever you want to be.
That's incredible. I want to switch gears just slightly, ever so slightly, to the courses, because you say that your friends are supporting you. How have you found your coursework to be? I know in my case, going from more of like a high school to university was tough. Have you found that to be the case in terms of expectation?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I quite enjoyed high school. I enjoyed like how sick form was set out, how rigid A-levels were. I like the criteria and stuff. I quite like that. But at uni, it's so much more different. Like the philosophy side is just like the exams. So most of the time it's different between exam and coursework for me. Like I know a lot of people like don't have any exams, but I had quite a few exams January, and I just found they were difficult. Like, I did struggle quite a lot with them, but I passed them all. In regards to like my actual exams, they're quite similar. Like my university, like in-person exams. So I have diabetes. So like in school, I went to like a separate room to get all my like work done there for exams. And then at university, there's also another room, and they're really like accommodating, understanding of all your needs. It's really nice. But the coursework, it's a bit of a step up, just because there's no one pushing you, no one in your corner, like being like, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. It's not that they don't care. It's just like, they just don't have the time.
It's the self-responsibility, where if you come from a family that did that for you or helped you with that, it's very different.
Yeah, my family were really, really good with helping me. My mom's a teacher. So she was like on it. She was like, what are you going to do today? Like, I wouldn't have made it to where I am without her. She was incredible at helping me. And I'm thankful for it every day, even if I don't show it.
How have you learned to self-motivate now that you don't have your mom sort of over your shoulder?
Well, I feel like some parts I do lack quite a lot of self-motivation, but I always think to myself, like, what would my mom do? So like, I had a French presentation and I was like, what would my mom do? And I wrote it all out in English, then translated it, and then did it all. And I was like, yeah, this is what she would have done. I got it all on time and stuff. But then there are other essays where I'm like, oh, I just can't bother to do this. And I don't think to myself, what would she do? And then it goes a bit worse.
Well, it's hard. It depends on where you are emotionally. And emotions play a big part in schoolwork. If you're not taking good care of yourself, your schoolwork's going to feel really daunting and hard to do.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like at the times when I was struggling more at university, like mental health wise, my schoolwork definitely did suffer. Like I wouldn't go to as many lectures. I wouldn't like put in effort to like catch up, stuff like that. It was just, everything was a bit more hard. And then once you get into the cycle, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Like, but there's a way out. Like I did like teach myself, and like my family were really, really supportive. Like they were like, what would you do? Like, what do you need from us? So it was really nice to have them in my corner.
How did you start to implement coping strategies? Because what I think is so hard is, like you mentioned, when you get in that hole and you're not feeling well, you're not taking care of yourself. Climbing yourself up back out is hard. It's hard and it takes consistent effort. How did you do that?
Yeah, it definitely was like really hard to do. So one of the first things I did, I was like, I can't cope. I need to book myself like a flight home for the weekend just to like reconnect with like everyone, everything at home. Like, and then when I came back from uni, like obviously I went on the sleeping tablets, and then I have a book now. It's a Lilo and Stitch book that I got when I was like six. And it's just like a notepad with a picture of my mum and I on. And we call it Sunday at six. So every Sunday at 6 p.m., I write down what I need to do for the week, what my goals are, how much I want to get done. It's just, it's really helpful creating like a rigid schedule. And like, I know for me, if I'm just like, oh, I need to do this work, it won't really get done. But if I'm like, I need to do this work by this time, this many words, like it becomes like almost like a reality to me. So I then have to do the work and then have to put in the effort. Otherwise, like myself down and everyone down, really.
I want to point something out. You said it's a Lilo and Stitch journal. I'm sitting next to my Lilo and Stitch hat, my Lilo and Stitch shirts I have right over there. I'm a Lilo and Stitch fanatic for whatever reason, and I don't know why.
Amazing.
Leaning into your childhood, I find that to be so helpful when you're struggling, because you can get back into this sort of playful, everything was good in your life, there weren't so many worries. Do you lean into that?
Yeah, almost in a way. I find it really grounds me. But also, I kind of lean into it in the way that like my six-year-old self wouldn't have wanted me to do this, rather than like, or like, I don't really know, like not in that way. I'm like my parents saved for this from when I was six. So why would I waste what they've done? Like my child self would be disappointed, stuff like that. It just, I need like a bit of a reality check sometimes. And I find like looking into my childhood, like, it really helps.
Well, your childhood is the window to who you really are.
Exactly, yeah.
I noticed you mentioned something that your parents had saved for it since you were a child, and that's a heavy weight as well, is balancing not only your own expectations for university, but carrying that weight for your parents. Have you found that to be a struggle?
A bit, yeah. So my dad's actually really old. My dad's 90 this year.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, surprised. But I feel like I wouldn't want to like not do good and disappoint him, like in like, not to be ominous, but like he hasn't got like 20 years left or like 40 years left like a normal parent would. And I feel like it's going to be a real motivation for me. Like I want him to see me succeed, and I'm really hopeful that I will. And then my mom, like, she got the opportunity to go to uni, but a lot of people didn't, like in her family. And I feel like there's not a weight on my shoulders, because like my mum's always like, if it gets too much, just drop out. Like, I won't be like mad, disappointed. But I want to succeed for them. And I want to like do the best I possibly can.
I think that's such a beautiful answer, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I can tell you with certainty, I know that your parents, because I'm a little older than you, I can tell you that your parents are incredibly proud of you, because you are so kind, you're so caring, and you're so responsible. So your parents are proud, whether you know it or not.
Thank you.
I love your answer as to how you're doing this really to build your legacy for your family.
Yeah, definitely. Like, all I want in life, like, not to be like cliche, but I want to make them proud, but I just want to make them happy, because I know that the only thing they care about really is what I think about myself. Like, and I know that they know I'd be disappointed if I couldn't do it. So I want them to push me, and I want to succeed for them.
I want to touch on something, because you said push, and I suffer from something, well, used to suffer from kind of like a chronic burnout where I would overdo. And so often when you're given that opportunity and space and unity, I'm just going to go do it all. I'm going to go cram. I'm going to go do this. How do you balance and give yourself self-compassion for those days where you might be down or you might not be feeling as well? And you mentioned diabetes. Again, maybe you have a day where you're not feeling quite as energetic.
Yeah, it is tough. And I do have like a few days where I'm just like, I can't do anything right now. Or like, it'll be like a week. But I find like, if I don't dwell on it that much, it won't affect me. I'm like, okay, that's happened. But what now? What next? What can I do? Not to fix it, because like, it's not a problem. Everybody has rough days, rough weeks. What can I do to better myself now? So like, if I've missed a lecture, I don't think I need to catch it up straight away. I think, oh, let me get back on track first. Then I can catch up if I need to. Then I can focus on like, oh, I've missed that. Let me go do some more details. So I feel like getting everything back on track is much more important than being like, oh, I need to catch up. Oh, I need to fix, need to this.
Because that's guilt and shame. I have a friend who says a saying, anytime anything negative happens, she says, it's just a thing that happens to be happening. And I love that mindset.
That's really nice. Yeah, I really agree with that.
So you're a veteran now. You've been in a whole year. What do you wish you would have known a year ago that would have been super, super helpful?
So obviously I do have like loads of friends, not loads of friends, but I have really, really good friends. But I feel like a lot of people, my friends included, branch out more. Like there's literally, everyone's a freshhead. Everyone says this, but like no one really realizes the extent to what you need to branch out, because it is so overwhelming. Like just go to as many things as possible, meet people, talk to them. If friendships don't work out, it's not going to be like, you're not going to see them and be like, oh, I need to hide from them. Like you'll smile, you'll wave, like it'll be fine. No one's going to hate you in first week. Like it's everyone's first week too. You've got to remember. So I feel like it's really important just to do more.
I think your general advice is it isn't the end of the world. Nothing is the end of the world. So I want to take it in sort of an interesting direction. One that I think impacts a lot of students is physical health. And we've touched on this with you, but we haven't really, really dove into this with you. I don't know if you did any sports or anything like that when you were a little bit younger, but sometimes with university, you're given free rein of your schedule. And physical health is sort of the last thing on the totem pole. Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I used to play badminton for the Isle of Man up until about like year 12. So like 16, 17. And then like, I kind of got out of it. I kind of grew out of it a bit. And then at uni, I was just like, I can't join the team. Everyone's going to be so good. Like I just panicked a bit. So I didn't really do that. And then I feel like it's really, if you're not in a sports social, like it's really hard to get back into things, like especially like after the first 2 weeks. And that's like another thing I'd say for like at the start of uni, if you do a sport, just go to the things. Like you want to get in that community as fast as possible because you don't want to feel like an outsider getting in. So like I know a couple of my friends do sports and they love it, but I kind of missed out on that segment. And that's probably like, I'd say that's my biggest regret from coming to uni is not getting involved in like the sports side. But I go for a walk sometimes with my friends. So Leeds has like a nice canal. So we go down there for a walk sometimes, or we just walk around, like, I suppose. And then I went with my friend ice skating, like just a bit outside Leeds. We got to the bus, but I wasn't very good at it, but she was really good. So...
That's okay. Sometimes I have really little ankles, so I'm not good at anything like that either. The walk is so regulating. So I'm a walking fanatic, my friend. I love a lot of dogs. So I love to go on walks because not only is it physically good, it's so emotionally good. And I don't know about you, but I just feel this release after I go on a walk.
Yeah, definitely. Like when I get back and like, even if I'm like, it's like, I'm so tired, I'll just sit in my bed and be like, at least I've done something with my day. Like, not even like, I think it's definitely the physical side of it, like getting out and about, but also like mentally, I'm like, I've had a walk. My life's great. I could have been sleeping, but I wasn't. And now I'm sorted. I'm ready to conquer the day. I can do some work, or like I can have a relax now. And in 2 hours, I'll do some work. It's all about like balance. So I find it's a really good way of like helping me shape my days and stuff like that.
Going into your second year, what are your goals emotionally, socially, mentally, academically, of course?
Going into my second year, I want to get back on it. I want to go to every single lecture if possible, because I did miss a few. But also, I want to join a few new societies maybe. So I'm currently in, I play in a brass band at uni, which is really nice. We play a competition. We do social sometimes. It's a really nice community. Just they're different than what I would normally people I'd hang around with. So it's nice to get more people that I could just interact with casually. And then I'm also in French society, so that's really nice. But I really want to get my grades solid. So ideally by the end of uni, I'd have a first. It's my goal. And I want to be able to work towards that. And I want to be able to I know that in second year, you can pick your modules more than first year. So I want to be able to stretch into things that I like to cover. So the philosophy of religion, stuff more to do with religion. And then in French, I want to stretch into colonialism, racism, social justice issues. And then I really want to just branch out and make more friends, not best friends, because I'm really happy with the friends I've got, as I've mentioned, but just people I could see and be hey, or catch up for coffee, just to so I don't go stir crazy, to be honest.
Build your social circle. There's the insiders, there's the middle group, the outside group. Everybody has the same thing. We get it. You'll keep your best friends and you'll just kind of build a casual social group, if you will. If you are going to give university students 2 to 3 pieces of advice, things that you've picked up, they can be little, they can be big, anything at all, what would those 2 to 3 pieces of advice be?
I'd probably say, don't say no. Don't say no, but it's also okay to say no.
Yes, if something is wrong, say no.
Yeah. Don't do anything you're uncomfortable with. But I'd say at least for the first month, don't say no just because you don't feel like doing something really. If your mate's do you want to go to the pub and meet a few more people? Be like, yes. Obviously, it's okay to prioritize yourself, but definitely focus on just getting as many experiences as you can from university in general too. These are meant to be the best years of your life. It's the first time for freedom and it is a bit daunting, but.
And that is a little bit of pressure as well. The best years of your life mentality is tough.
Yeah. And I feel if you don't feel like it is, it's even worse for you. A lot of people I myself preferred the environment of sick form, but I feel you have to think what can I do? This and improv, yes and, but this and what? I can do this more. I can meet more people.
And I would say as well, if it feels daunting for them to be the best years of your life, in air quotes, make them good years of your life.
Yeah, definitely. As long as you're having a good time, that should be the way. But if you're not having a good time, I feel a lot of people are oh, I'm just trapped. I feel dropping out, as stigmatic as it is, I feel it's definitely needed for some people. And I feel a lot of people are what will everyone think? But I'm sure everyone would think, I'm happy that you came home and didn't do anything that you hated for a year or 4 years. Obviously, you can start again. You can do this. There are so many different options that you can go down that you shouldn't just be restricted to.
Okay, so there's your first one. Do you have another piece of advice? I'm going to make you work here.
Oh, do I have another piece of advice? Try and find joy in little things. So I'd say even if it's just I went for a coffee after my lecture with my friend today. That was really nice. Be like, yeah, that was a really nice thing. It's made my day. Today's going to be a good day. How am I going to improve this day? Oh, I can do some more work. I can do this. As long as you have a positive mentality about every little thing, then your life should be so much easier to do more work or have more fun.
You gave me this little mental image of playing with building blocks, if you will, building blocks of joy, because you said, oh, this made me joyful. How can I add or build to this day? I can't remember precisely what you said. And I said, that's a really interesting mentality because the coffee is a great example. So, oh, this made me feel joyful. Maybe I'll watch this show that makes me feel joyful. Maybe I'll go on a walk, whatever it is. So it's building from that place of joy.
Yeah, exactly. You can never have too much joy in your life.
I'm loving this. If you had a life mantra or perhaps a quote that you live by, what is that? That tells us a lot about who you are.
Oh, this is really cringe. Like, sky is the limit. Like, everything can be improved. Everything always gets better. Like, it's just really worth sticking it out, or worth doing something that will make you happy, even if like you don't want to. If you know it will make you feel better, just do it.
I love that. No, that was not cringy. That's your tattoo worthy quote there. Sometimes when people can't come up with that, I say, well, what would you get tattooed on your body? And that will usually tell you. That will usually tell you which direction you want to go in. Adam, we're wrapping up here. Is there anything, I want to give you the chance to kind of open the mic, if you will. Is there anything that's on your heart to say?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people will think that uni is the be all and end all. And it's really important to know that everyone does university different. Like, you might be jealous of someone who's like out all the time, out clubbing all the time, but like they could have just as like, if you're feeling awful, they could feel just as awful as you. And I feel like it's important to remember that everyone has their own issues at university. I don't know anyone who's like perfectly fine with it. And I feel like it's really important to remember that it's okay to struggle. Like, there are options to get help available. Like, if you're not as close with your parents, try and go to university tutor or like the GP. There are always like other options to do things than just like sitting by yourself and contemplating your thoughts, like being like, oh, I'm awful. Like, I'm not going to do anything. It's really important to be able to be more confident.
I think that's important because it is framed, like we mentioned, as the end all be all, the best years of your life. And that is objectively can be really true, but for some people it's not. And it's just important to make every day or week or month as good as you can make it. And that's by taking care of yourself as best that you can and looking after yourself.
Definitely, I agree.
Adam, I have had so much fun having this conversation with you. You did not disappoint. Of course, I knew that you would not. You said so many incredible things. As we're wrapping up, is there any final word you'd like to share before we sign off?
I just want to say, like, maybe like thank you to like an Oscar speech. But I feel like it's really important to thank those like closest to you. So like, I would not have been able to do like my whole university experience without my friends, my parents, just like everyone, even my teachers. Like, everything that they've done has been like for me and in my best interests. And I just really appreciate like everything that they've done.
That is so wonderful. Oh my goodness. You guys can't see it, but I'm clapping for him because that was the purest, kindest thing. Adam, the conversation has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your first year, firsthand, first perspective experiences. I know it means so much both to me and to the viewership.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.